Frederick Douglass was born Frederick Augustus Washington Bailey in 1818, a child in chains in a land that called itself free. He was denied a birth date and a childhood, but he was never denied his humanity, for he refused to surrender it. By his own will, he seized the tools of freedom, the knowledge to read, the courage to speak, and the strength to act. His life was the story of America's unfinished promise, the same story we live today. These are his words. They are our inheritance, they are our warning, and they are our hope. In the fields of Calvert County, Maryland, this young boy learned the weight of chains before he knew the weight of years. He saw a nation that spoke of liberty while dealing in human flesh. From the first days of his life, he understood what hypocrisy feels like, not as an idea, but as an iron collar around the soul. The law said he must remain ignorant. He broke the law. With stolen words and smuggled lessons, he opened a door in his mind that no jailer could close. In the light of literacy, he saw the truth of slavery, and he could no longer accept it. On September morning in 1838, he put on a sailor's uniform and stepped into a train. He carried borrowed papers, a pounding heart, and a will that no one could crush. He traveled north, not just towards freedom, but towards the rest of his life. Escaping slavery demanded both courage and cunning. It was a gamble with everything at stake. When his words became too dangerous for America, he took them across the sea to Ireland, where he found no color line drawn between himself and others. But he found another people also under oppression. And he knew now that the fight for freedom has no borders. In Ireland, Frederick Douglass was welcomed into homes, invited to lecture, and never treated as less than human. When he came back, his speeches more boldly attacked the hypocrisy of so-called American democracy. How could a nation that claimed liberty and equality treat its black citizens worse than the most impoverished Europeans were treated? This contradiction was cemented in his mind, and he knew he had a greater vision of the role he must play in the shaping of America. After arriving back in America, a free man, his speeches were more critical of the Southern slaveholders. But more importantly, he attacked and condemned those who allowed the atrocities to manifest and spread. He was less willing to stay in the stereotypical slave narrative his white abolitionist allies had built for him. He was more determined to speak with authority as a leader in his own right, and to agitate those who perpetuated hatred. This was now the sole purpose of his life, and he attacked with a moral conviction that could not be denied. Here, Douglass exposes not only the cruelty of slavery, but the corruption of conscience that allowed it to flourish. His words cut through the polite facades of his age, and if we listen, they pierce through to ours as well. Douglass was a man of deep moral conviction, but he never confused religion with righteousness. He saw churches that preached charity but practiced cruelty, pulpits that blessed change instead of breaking them. He spoke against a faith that served the master's whip instead of the slave's cry. Douglass believed that the struggle for freedom was incomplete without women at his heart. For him, the rights of women were inseparable from the rights of the enslaved and the oppressed. He knew that the denial of equality for women was born of the same injustice that denied equality for his people. His words remind us that liberty must be universal, or it is no liberty at all. Frederick Douglass belonged to the 19th century, but his voice belongs to the present. He told us that the limits of tyranny are set by the endurance of those who resist it. Let us be resistant. Let us be better than we were yesterday. Let us be, in his words and in our deeds, a people worthy of freedom.